Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. If you'd like to make an appointment with one of our 55 attorneys, call us at 703-218-2100, and the web will give you an idea of the scope of services that we provide. If you'd like to read my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, please dial us up, and you can subscribe just by clicking on one of the links there and have access to all of the recent updates, including all of our radio shows are archived on the blog, as well as videos and articles of interest in the estate planning, tax, and business planning area. So visit us there as well. Today we're going to be talking about non-compete agreements, which are really important to our small business clients as well as to the employees that they employ. And the question, first question always is, well, what the heck is a non-compete? What is a covenant not to compete? It's a promise by the employee not to compete with the employer for a specified period of time, either in a particular place or in a particular way. And a covenant not to compete, which is also known as a non-compete or a non-competition covenant, may be a clause in an employment agreement or a separate contract standing on its own. The next question is a non-compete really enforceable? I mean, I've heard that, for example, in Virginia, these non-competes really are not enforceable. So if you sign one of these things and then you go out and compete against an employer, the employer has no right to stop you from doing that. Well, the answer is they are enforceable generally. Courts at one time did not enforce non-competes. They viewed them as an unlawful restraint on trade, meaning that it prohibited the employee from really working or being gainfully employed. But today, courts will enforce the non-compete agreements if the employer provides and proves that it has a legitimate business interest to protect by restricting its employee's right to compete against it, and the restriction on the employee's right to compete is no greater than is necessary to protect the employer's business interests, and the covenant is supported by adequate consideration, which will bring us to some questions in a second. That means that the employee has received something in exchange for the non-compete. Now, of course, every case in a non-compete or with an employer depends on its facts, number one. And number two, it depends on the jurisdiction in which the employee lives and where the employee works. A judge who's going to enforce a non-compete agreement usually balances the protection of the employer's business against the constraint on the employee from being able to earn a living, as well as a variety of other factors, such as whether the restrictions are going to harm the public in general. Well, give me some examples, you say, of what a legitimate business interest is for the employer. Well, the employer has a legitimate interest in preventing the employee from taking advantage of relationships or information or skills that were acquired as a result of his or her employment. If the employer gives a new employee its customer list, for example, many courts will enforce an agreement that prevents the employee from contacting those customers on behalf of a competing business. Let me give you an example. You're working for the employer. The employer says, I want you to sign this non-compete as a condition of your working for me. The employer turns around and gives you access to a database that contains all of its customer information, their names, their addresses, their emails. For some reason, you decide to leave the employer and you go to work for somebody else, and you take that customer list with you, and you signed this non-compete agreement saying that you wouldn't compete with the employer using its confidential information. You take the customer list and you start calling up the former customers that you worked with. Well, guess what? A court is going to enforce a non-compete that prevents you from taking that customer list. and using it against your former employer, because the employer had a legitimate business interest in protecting its trade secret, which included the customer list. As another example, let's say the employer wants to protect its investment in training you by preventing you from taking the knowledge that you acquired on the job to compete against the employer. In some cases, that may be enough to stop you from taking your special training, the special courses, the special knowledge that you acquired from and using that against the employer in a competitive business, like teaching the new employer some of the special tricks that you learned in the old employment relationship. Well, then the next question is, well, what if the employee can't work anywhere else? If the employee's restriction against competition prevents you from working anywhere, for anyone, at any time, it's probably too broad, and it probably will not be enforced by a court. Few employers are able to convince a court that their business interests are so important as to prevent the employee from having gainful employment anywhere. Well, let's say the employee's in the process of negotiating a non-compete right now. What should the employee ask for, and what should the employer be careful of? Well, if you're an employee, you should ask to limit the agreement to that which is necessary to protect the employer. Next, if it's necessary to prevent an employee from working for a period of time in a highly specialized industry or occupation, then you may want to ask for severance pay that equals the time period of your non-compete. If the employer really needs the protection, it should pay for it. From the employer's perspective, if you're coming in and working for the employer, and the employer is giving you really specialized knowledge and capabilities that you didn't have before you came to work for them, or is giving you access to very, very important customers, then the employer clearly should seek to prevent the employee from competing with it by working for any of its customers for a period of time after the employee leaves employment. That's a reasonable restraint, most courts would argue, even courts in Virginia, as long as it's limited to the customers of the employer. The employee, as long as it can work for somebody else, he or she can work for somebody else, the employee is not in being restrained from gainful employment, and the employer has a legitimate business interest in protecting its customer relationships. Well, what if the employer isn't reasonable? That's what many employees ask me when they're talking about their non-compete agreements. Well, consider working elsewhere. If the employer asks you to sign a non-compete, which it says that you must sign as a condition of employment, and you don't like the terms or conditions of the non-compete, you may want to look elsewhere for a job. On the other hand, the employer has a legitimate business interest in protecting its customers, in protecting its trade secrets, in protecting its confidential information. So it's going to want its employees to assign over any rights to anything that the employees create during the term of employment, and prevent the employees from competing against the employer when they leave employment. Well, I've gotten this question before. I signed my non-compete after I started working. Is it valid? Well, if the non-compete is overbroad, again, it may not be enforceable. But as a condition of continued employment, many employers, particularly in what we call at-will employment states like Virginia, will demand that you sign a non-compete, and it may actually be after you've commenced employment. They can be enforceable, so it depends on the state and it depends on the facts. Then you might ask, well, what if the agreement restricts my employment more than is necessary to protect the employer? Can I get out of it? Well, maybe not. It depends on the state. It depends on the facts. In Maryland and D.C., non-competes are more favored than they may be in Virginia. And remember that in some cases, a court may modify a non-compete agreement to make it enforceable. particularly in states known as blue pencil states, like Maryland and D.C. If the non-compete is overbroad, the court might cut out the offending provision. So, for example, if the non-compete says you cannot work anywhere within 100 miles of any office of the company, the court might narrow that geographic restriction. Or if it says you can't work for 10 years, the court might narrow it down to 1. In Virginia, on the other hand, blue penciling is generally not favored, which means that the courts, instead of trying to modify the non-compete to make it more enforceable and more reasonable, will throw out the entire clause or the entire agreement. So that really depends on your state and the scope of the non-compete. Well, what happens if I try to compete even though I have this agreement? Well, plenty might happen, and not much of it good, because your employer could file a suit against you for an injunction and money damages. And if the employer can point to a facially valid agreement and reasonable restrictions in that agreement, most courts are going to grant an injunction to the employer, permitting the employer to prevent you from competing against it. Now, our firm typically represents management and represents the employers. And so if you're a small business and you'd like to know more about constructing your non-compete agreements, please call us at 703-218-2100 and we'll connect you with one of our many employment lawyers at the firm. Also, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com to learn more about our practice. And visit my blog at blueprintforwealth.org. And read the Washington Business Journal, because every month I have the Blueprint for Wealth column. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.